Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you.
This is Joseph Barley Presents. I'm Diana White Eagle, the co-producer, and our live call-in phone number is 323-744-4831. And we have two special guests today. One is Jared Soule, and he is a insurance agent for the veterans, and he'll be talking about the veterans and also small business owners. And then we also have Sharon Milliman, who was struck by lightning, drowned. Let's see, she did about four things where she visited the other side, and she'll tell you about it. But first, I'd like Jared. Jared, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. Okay, Harry, it's all yours.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm definitely gonna try to keep this simple with people. We're not really here to talk about insurance, but you know, we do hear the benefits for veterans. A lot of the people we work with, they're paying too much for the coverage they have, and they're tired of people always trying to sell them. So we take more of a personalized approach here, where we actually like to get to know people's backgrounds, know their families, build personable relationships. And a lot of the veterans we work with, they have small businesses and the kids have small businesses. And what we actually decided to do was we set up programs for them that allow their families to basically retire earlier. And, you know, we build long-term relationships here, and, you know, we really take pride in our work, and we like to stand out. We like to be a lot different than a lot of the insurance companies out there. So I'm definitely happy to be on here and hoping to help a lot of people.
Great. Great. I'm sure that it would be an interesting approach because there's so many people that need help right now, too. And insurance is something that you should have. Absolutely. Is there anything else you'd like to say about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of us, the problem is just the basic, like, for example, we have a product that is pretty popular right now. It's called an IUL. It's the Index Universal Life Policy. And I didn't even know it existed until I actually got into the industry myself. But it's things like this we weren't taught about when we were in school. We were all taught, you know, work hard, get a job, invest in a 401k, you know, and some of us were, you know, taught the real estate game. And the problem is a lot of these things just, they aren't effective today. And, you know, real estate, it can be great, but you have to really know what you're doing. And, you know, there are things that we can do at a young age, you know, even for business owners, you know, 50 to 65 years old, if they can actually invest in, for example, an IUL starting in their 50s, they can set themselves up for retirement by their early 60s, mid 60s. We worked with a lot of people that basically they have their own companies, and they started small, you know, 7-8 years ago, and they started investing small, and they've got $250,000 plus dollars ready for retirement. And the best thing of all is these programs, they have a floor. And IUL, for example, has a floor, so you don't lose money due to market losses. So in a lot of ways, it's better than people just, you know, investing in the stock market or investing in a 401k. And I mean, let's face it, the world's expensive these days and inflation's out of control. And, you know, if we can help these veterans we work with, if we can help their kids and help, you know, help their kids' kids be able to retire one day eventually, we really take pride in what we do and in educating our families here.
Well, thank you. Thank you. If you want to get in touch with you, do you have a phone number you'd like to give them?
Yeah, so go ahead and give me a call or text me, 843-295-8010. Just text me the word retire, or you can email me, jared.ffl.wealth@gmail.com, jared.ffl.wealth@gmail.com.
Thank you. Thank you. Now we're going to segue right into the seven amazing things you can actually do in heaven. We also have Sharon Milliman, who has been there and will she'll tell you about it when we get done with these other seven things. All right. So this is from the Wisdom Network, in case anybody wants to hear it or see it for themselves. But, okay, so there's these seven things. One, it's not boring. You are not, when you pass, you're not up there floating around with on a cloud with a little halo and your harp. That's not what happens. It's and it isn't retirement either. It's the ultimate adventure. It's what God has planned for us. And the first thing would be exploring God's creation and harmony with no fear with animals. And they talk about the bears and the lions and us. We all get along. Nobody is trying to chew up anybody else. Everybody is friends, our friends. The other part is that it's the beauty. It's like the beauty is so, it's so magnificent, and there's just peace throughout the whole area. And it's like variety and joy. Everything is broken. That was broken is whole again. It's perfect peace and harmony, and it's heaven. And you'll be meeting biblical heroes. You won't feel distant or foreign. There'll be reunion with loved ones. That's my big favorite one, too. It's you'll get to see all the people that passed before you. And there's usually, from what I've seen, because I'm a medium, there's a big dinner. When you get up there, they have a big party for you. And if some people ask me, you know, will I be there next time? Well, usually if you're going to be crossing over, they'll have a big party and they'll have a dinner and they'll have one chair available that's vacant, and that will be for you. And if, you know, if you cross over, fine, you're there for the party. Otherwise, you are there for the next time. But let me go back to what the Wisdom Network says. And, okay, you'll have the reunion with your loved ones. You'll meet familiar faces and those who you've never met. And it's just perfect friendship. There's a reunion and great joy. And then the third is that you will be building magnificent mansions. You have your own home. It's beautiful. It's personal. And you can have more than one. You can have one in the country and one by the water and one in the city. And you design it yourself, and it's exactly warmth and peace and joyful to be in it, beautiful colors. And it's the colors, so I'm told, are not like anything we have here. They're much, much more intense and beautiful, just as the music is also. And there's no decay, no maintenance. It's beautiful forever. And the fourth is perfect physical healing. you may cross over with all sorts of ailments, and when you get there, you're perfectly solid. You can run, you can do everything you could do younger here, and you have the freedom and joy like never before, and it's vitality, and it's forever. And then eating will be one of your joys. There's also eating from the tree of life. The tree of life is up there, they're telling us. That's number five. And there's a time period, but I can't explain it because I'm down here on Earth and it's up there, and they don't really have calendar days. But every so often, there'll be a change of fruit. And this fruit is just from the tree of life. You'll eat it, and every month there's different fruits, and it's unlike anything on Earth. It's any kind of healing, it'll heal you. You'll be restored. Although when you get up there, that's what happens to you. And then number six, this network says you'll cultivate a spectacular garden and also vineyards, and you'll be creating them with your own hands. And if you're not one that is into gardening, it'll be there. You can just go and sit and enjoy it. But the most wonderful part will be that you will be with all your loved ones, and there will be no sickness. I would like to ask Sharon Millman if she would like to tell us about her adventures up in heaven. She has, she was in heaven. She drowned when she was 13. She was hit by lightning four times in her early 40s. An emergency during surgery. So I would like her to come on and tell you her experience, because she has firsthand, and she'll tell you everything that I didn't mention. Okay, Sharon, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Well, like Diana said, I have had four near-death experiences. My second one was after multiple lightning strikes, and it was actually the fourth lightning strike where I died. And as soon as I left my body, it was like peeling a banana. And the second my spirit left my body, I felt no pain, nothing. It was wonderful, because when that lightning hit me, it burned, it seared. It was absolutely horrific. And then I just come right out of myself, and I was standing next to myself. I could see myself on the ground, but I didn't have a connection to that physical body anymore. And so I wasn't upset or distraught about it. And right after that happened, I walked up my stairs and into my kitchen, and I noticed that everything that was in my kitchen was not mine. Then I go to the next room, and everything had a burnt gold color look to it. So I walk into the dining room, and I notice that none of that furniture was mine. It was my house. I knew how to get around, but nothing in it belonged to me. And I started to get concerned about that, because I didn't understand. And at this point, it didn't dawn on me, or didn't register in my mind, that I had died, because I felt great. I felt wonderful, better than I had ever felt. And so I continued walking through the house, and like in the living room, there was nothing in there that was mine. So I did start to get a little worried at that point, and I thought, what is happening? And as soon as I started to panic, because I didn't understand what was happening, there was this huge, huge, loving, formless presence that was there with me. And it was like being scooped up, and I was just held. And the love that I felt was so enormous that it just filled every fiber of my being. And we started to move very quickly. We didn't go up or down. We went sort of sideways, but we were moving at great speed. And it was through these beautiful pink and gold clouds. And when we got to the end of this, I guess it was the tunnel, but for me it was, you know, just magnificent clouds. And once we got to the end, we were at the entrance of this magnificent garden. And I was, at this point, you could have blown me away with, you know, a feather, because I was in such awe over everything that had happened just to that point. And when I started looking around in the garden, there were these two young men that stepped forward to greet me. And I had lost two of my brothers. They were 1 year and 2 years younger than me. And so I didn't know them. I was a baby myself when they died. So when I saw them, at first I thought they were angels because they were glowing. And they were wearing this very expensive linen clothing. It looked like, they actually showed me the pattern of the weave. Now, at the time, I didn't understand why that was important. It took me many years to find out why that was important. But they showed me the weave pattern, sort of like they took a snapshot of it and stuck it in my face. And it was a herringbone weave. And when it wasn't until they smiled at me. As soon as they smiled at me, I realized who they were. Because they looked just like my dad when my dad was a young man. And it was like, oh my gosh. And I knew who they were. And it was so, we had such a wonderful family reunion. I couldn't stop saying it. You guys are so beautiful and you look just like dad. And I knew, I kept telling him, Dad would be so proud of you if he could see you now. And they would be about my age, well, a little bit younger. But when I saw them, they were like, I don't know, late 20s, early 30s. And As we started moving through the garden, they were showing me these different, landmarks. Like I call them landmarks because I was there twice, two different experiences, and saw the same things both times. So once we had our family reunion, we were walking around and I was looking at the absolute beauty. I mean, beauty doesn't even cover it. It was so magnificent. And the colors, they were so rich and so vibrant. And I heard birds and I could see like 360 degrees without turning my head. So my awareness, my senses were so heightened. And I could like feel and I could see very far distances in very great detail. And there were colors that we don't even have words for in the English language or in any language, I don't think.
Yeah, I hear that they're just extraordinary.
Oh, they are. I mean, it is just thinking about it takes my breath away. And there's music, and I heard the most magnificent music. It was like listening to multiple orchestras and choirs all coming together at one time. And I learned that everything has a vibration. And like the leaves on the trees have a vibration. The grass has a different vibration. Rocks, a different one. Colors even had vibration. And so when you put all of these sounds together, you have this music that is just, I don't know, bigger than, I want to call it yawny music, but I don't know if anybody knows who that is.
Breathtaking music.
It absolutely, I mean, it's beyond breathtaking. So I was, we kept going further into the garden, and there was this, I saw, it looked like a field stone wall or a crumbling castle wall, and it had these beautiful pink roses growing up and over this wall. And that just took my breath away. I love pink roses. And everywhere I looked, there was pink roses everywhere. We didn't get too far into the garden before it was time for me to have a life review. So as we walked to this clearing, and there was like an old-fashioned movie screen and an old-fashioned black and white movie, and it was moving really quick, really fast, like the old movies used to. And by that time, Michael was on one side of me, Stephen was on the other, and that big, huge, loving presence was standing behind me. And then all of these other people from all different time periods, and they knew me and I knew them, but I couldn't remember where I knew them from. But everybody was standing around me and giving me love and support.
Is this during the review?
This was just before the review.
Okay.
When they all gathered around me. I was getting ready to tell you. The only way I knew that these were from different time periods was because they were wearing clothing. Some of the women were in dresses, men were in suits, some people were in modern day clothes. There were a ton of them, and nobody was over the age of mid-20s or early 30s. Everybody was young. Nobody was sick. There was no tears except happy tears. I didn't see any wheelchairs or anything like that. So once the screen came down and everybody was standing around me, I could see my life. I was watching me as a baby, as a little toddler growing up, as a little girl, then teenager, and so on and so forth, until the day that I had died. And I didn't hold on to any of it. I didn't judge myself on any of it. And it was over. Like, you snap your fingers and it was over. And I learned that God didn't judge me. I didn't judge me. Nobody else judged me. And so there wasn't any judgment. And the only thing I felt was just complete love and acceptance, where I had never felt that here on earth. There was always, I love you if, I love you but, I love you when. It was none of this, I love you just because I love you, none of that. But that's all it is there. And so after my life review, they were walking me around and showing me more. There is a huge golden wall that surrounds what I call the glorious city. And inside the city, there are these like marble buildings. They were white marble, but they had columns and archways that were intricately designed. And I didn't go beyond the wall. I stayed on the outskirts of the city. Inside the city, though, I could see the different buildings. And one of them in the center of the city was a round building that had a beautiful golden dome. And it was like you walking down a neighborhood street and there's just all these beautiful buildings and homes and things like that in the city. Now, on the outskirts of the city, I saw where babies and children go. And it's like Toys R Us on steroids. They had every possible thing that they could possibly want or need to keep them entertained and happy. And I saw mentors and teachers and angels and grandmas and grandpas and great aunts and uncles and all these people. They were there to take care of these children. And what I learned was that the children will grow physically and spiritually till they get to a certain point, late 20s, early 30s. And then what happens is then it becomes all about your spiritual growth. And when older people pass away, when they get there into this garden, which I'm calling a receiving center or a welcoming center, but the older people, they become younger, you know. So everybody's at around that same age. And like you were talking about and the thing that you were reading, there is no illness. There is no brokenness. There's no deformities or mental conditions or anything like that. And it's just pure love. And you're right about you don't just sit around under trees eating bonbons because you're very busy. People have jobs. And some are taking care of the children. Some are welcoming people that have just passed on, teaching people how to get acclimated, how to get around, what to do, you know.
I've also been told that if they were of scientific or into medicine or research, that they actually continue and tell the people down here, give them their ideas so that they can research and get something special, that they actually give the ideas. Okay. Go ahead.
I did see what looked like what I call it a healing hospital, not because they need any kind of physical healing, because it's more about if someone has a very traumatic death and they don't know. I had my two brothers had told me I had died. I didn't know what was happening. I was just blown away by everything. And once they told me I had died, I looked down the front of me to see if I had a body, because everybody else I saw had bodies. So I looked down the front of me and I could see my hair. I could see my clothes, my feet. I was barefoot, and I could actually feel the coolness of the grass on my feet, which was something that I really liked when I was little. I still don't wear shoes, but when I was little, I used to run through the grass, and that was the most wonderful feeling. So I could feel. And I was glowing just like everybody else was glowing. So you're literally, it's like the light that's in heaven. And when I was there both times, it looked like the most perfect spring day. There was no humidity. The air was cool and warm at the same time. You didn't sweat or, you know, feel sticky or whatever. It was just perfect. And it was like sunny, and I did see the blue sky, and I saw little wispy clouds. I saw a sphere in the sky, but it was like if you see the moon in the daytime, it's just a little white round thing in the sky. Well, that's what I saw, but that's not where the light was coming from, because all of the light was coming from the heart of God. And that's, you know, it was lighting up everything. And one of the things I noticed about my two brothers, because I kept watching them and just loving them to death, they looked like they'd been out on the beach all day. You know, they had that glow, that golden beach glow. And everybody did. And what I found so amazing was that I lost that feeling of insecurity is my hair okay? Am I too fat? Is my makeup on right? You know, what are people thinking? I didn't have that because everybody loves you and accepts you exactly as you are. And they're not looking at you judgmentally like a lot of people on earth do. So anyway, my brothers, when you were talking about eating, you do eat in heaven, but not to sustain life. And it's, you do it because it brings you joy. And
yeah, I was going to say joyfulness.
Absolutely. I mean, when you gather with your family and friends here, it's usually around food. Well, it's no different there, you know. And my brothers took me to this one building, and I looked in the doorway. And there was a party going on. So when you mentioned the party, that does happen. And I don't know who the party was for. It could have been for me. I don't know. But they specifically took me to this where this door was open. And I looked inside, and there was a man playing a piano, and the wall were like a rich mahogany, and they had these beautiful paintings and chandeliers and candelabras and big baskets of flowers, and people were dressed in beautiful dresses, and oh, and on a table, some of the people were dancing, some of the people were eating, some of the people were just talking and singing to the music or whatever. And it was a very joyful, festive feeling. But I looked on the other side of the room from where the piano was being played. And there were tables, and those tables were dressed in expensive linen, and there were silver trays, and on the silver trays was every food you could possibly want. And I've told this story so many times, and people ask me, there were meats and cheeses and fruits and vegetables and pastries and breads and just everything you could possibly want. And so I've had people say, oh, great, so there's killing of animals in heaven. And no, there's no killing of animals in heaven. If you want to eat the meat, you can eat the meat. If you don't, you don't have to eat it. But God can create anything with a mere thought. There's no killing of anything. In fact, I saw behind the glorious city, I saw mountains and rolling hills and plains where horses and cattle and whatever, chickens, whatever it is, you know. There's plenty of room. And so you're right when you were reading that about the animals. That is true. And you see your dogs and your cats and your beloved animals. You see other people's beloved animals. Now, when you were talking about the trees, the tree that had the fruit on it.
Yes.
There was a stream, and that it was absolutely magnificent. I mean, the water was so beautiful. It looked like there was a million diamonds in that water when the light hit it. And there were these beautiful, perfectly shaped trees on either side of the stream. And I didn't take any fruit. I didn't see any fruit. But I'm assuming that's what they're talking about, because I do know when you talked about the houses, I saw two different areas. There were there was a house that was sitting on a bluff, and I could see the ocean waves crashing up onto the bluff below the house. And this house was made out of some kind of stone or crystals or something, because when the light hit it, it just glittered. It was magnificent. And behind that house, I saw another house that looked like an English cottage. And behind that house were these magnificent rose gardens. So yes, there are homes there, and mm-hmm. yes, there are gardens, and if you like the beach, you can have a home on the beach. If you like living in an English cottage with rose gardens, then you got that. So actually, there's any number of places. I saw a, it looked like a, like you would, a cabin that had a front porch on it. Mm-hmm. So you can live in the, you know, country or, you know, wherever.
Let me interject here. I know when I've done readings for people and we've visited the relatives, we've seen mm-hmm. a lot of them pick cabins or houses and with decks so they can have their coffee in the morning and overlooks the water. I've seen all that in my when I do readings. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of different places. So, yeah, it's interesting that you got to see it firsthand.
Oh, it's just such a magnificent place. There was a place that actually I call it the Hall of Knowledge, but I'm not sure that's what it's called. I just call it that because it looked like a gigantic, absolutely magnificent library. And it has mm-hmm. there was a bazillion books on that place. So anything you want to know anything about,
it's
gardening, there. Physics, whatever, it's all right there. And if you want to learn about a certain time period in history, you can pull that book off of the shelf. And it literally becomes like not just a book that you read, but something that you can experience from the information that's in that book. So if you want to go back to, I don't know, whatever, you know, to the Wild Wild West and, you know, sit in an old saloon bar and drink a beer.
Let me ask you a question. Now, did all the times you had your near-death experiences, were they all the same?
No. The first one, I drowned. I was taking swimming lessons and I drowned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that one, I was only 13, so I didn't know how to explain to anyone what I was experiencing. But I mm-hmm. was literally on the bottom of the pool under 10 feet of water. And I had stopped breathing. I was laying there, but I could see myself. I came out of my body and I was hovering over my body. And I was able to see myself laying on the bottom. I could see everything going on around the pool. I could hear everybody screaming. I saw my mom, who was leaning over the balcony, and she was clear on the opposite end of where I was, and yet I could see the look on her face as if she was leaning over me. Mm-hmm. And I heard, I mean, the kids were all screaming, and there was a woman lifeguard who was taking care of the smaller kids in the 3-foot section of the pool, and I heard her yell this man's name. Mm-hmm. Go in and get her. Because what he had done was he wanted us, we were all the big kids, and he wanted us to dive headfirst into the 10-foot section of the pool. And I couldn't do it. I was so terrified. I mean, I watched everybody else do it, and they were fine. But I couldn't. And he did not honor that. He came over, he picked me up around the waist and threw me in the water. Well, I panicked. And that's how I drowned. So here I am laying on the bottom and I'm watching all of this chaos and hearing all of this chaos going on. She's screaming at him to come in and get me. He doesn't. So it was a different lifeguard that actually did come in and get me. But before he was able to get me, there was this beautiful, brilliant white light. And I saw the water rippling on top of the the surface. Mm-hmm. And then this mm-hmm. light, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I don't know if I was going up to it or it was coming down to me, but the warmth and the love that was coming out of that light was absolutely unbelievable. And I was ready to surrender to that. I was like, I'm gone. But as soon,
that feels so amazing.
Yeah, it was so beautiful, but it was brilliant. But it didn't hurt my eyes. And as soon as it was getting ready to just touch my face, I hear what sounds like a metal door slam, and it echoed. And that was when my spirit went right back into my body, because the lifeguard that was taking care of the middle-aged kids, sort of in the 5-foot section of the pool, he had jumped in, and he was pulling me to the side. He was doing CPR, and I could, the pain was just incredible.
Yeah,
and
you
I'm
came
talking
back.
Up all this. Oh, I did. I came back in Spain. And by the time the medics got there, I was breathing okay. But I was so upset about what happened, I just couldn't get up and get out of there fast enough. And I never did learn how to swim. I don't go into water. You know, I have to know where the bottom is. But anyway, that light was just magnificent. And then the second one was the in heaven, where I saw the different buildings. And when I started to tell you about the healing hospital, it was for people who, like, maybe had a bad car accident or caught on fire or, you know, some kind of tragic something that happened so quick that they're, you know, they had no way of knowing what happened. And so what I learned about heaven is it's a very gentle place. And so there are people there that were able to bring these people gently to the awareness of what happened and where they are, and that they're loved and cared about. And so it's not like a physical hospital. It's more of a spiritual hospital. Mm-hmm. And I saw these beautiful healing pools in the back. And those healing pools, the water was like living water. It was like alive. And so there was that. And then the children's place. And then I saw the library. And then, you know, the different houses, the glorious city. So we're sort of in the middle of this garden. And I look over to the, as I'm facing the wall, it was to my right. There was a grove of trees, and Jesus came out of the grove of trees. People have asked me a million times, what kind of trees were they? I have no clue. Trees. Trees a tree. So he walks over, and I am, my brothers, I mean, I'm just like, I didn't even know what to say. I was like, oh my gosh. And he was just so beautiful. And my two brothers, when he walked up to me, my two brothers disappeared. I don't know where they went. And he came over and he told me that he loved me and not to be afraid, that he would be with me. Well, that was my first clue that I was coming back, but I was so, you know, I don't even know. I was in the wow factor that it didn't dawn on me that they were going to send me back. So as he's telling me that he loves me, and he's walking me to this wooded area, like a wooded glen, and there were pine cones and pine needles and these little blue flowers that had popped up through the pine needles. And so there was a log laying there, and I sat down on the log, and I had there was a man sitting on the other end of the log. Well, Jesus, I sat down, Jesus walks away, and I start talking to this other man who appeared to be an older version of Jesus, and we start having a conversation. So I don't, do you want me to go on with this, or do you want me to tell about the other one?
Well, we have only about 5 minutes, so...
I was wondering.
Yeah, if you could wrap it up and let us know what happened. I know you're back.
Well, we had an absolutely wonderful conversation.
Here, so. Go ahead.
And, well, we just had a wonderful conversation, and then I was sent back. I don't remember having been told I was coming back or given the option to come back. And if there was that kind of a discussion, it probably wasn't good, and that's why that's the only thing I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
So then the next near-death experience, it happened in 2016. Second one was in 2005. So in 2016, I had emergency surgery, and I had aspirated on the breathing tube and stopped breathing. And so I come out of my body. I'm standing next to them, and they have their hands inside of me, and that was just like, ooh. So I go up to the corner of the room, and I could still see what they were doing, and it was like, I don't want to see this. And there was this, like, tunnel thing, sort of rainbow-colored, upside-down whirlpool is what it looked like. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, I'm done. And I went right up to the center of that, and I found myself in heaven again. And I could see all the same buildings and landmarks that my brothers had showed me. Only this time, what happened was I was at the Golden Wall, and the gates were open, and I heard people laughing and talking, dishes clanging. I heard music playing, and the gates were open. So I knew there was a party for somebody. And there was a little brown and white beagle puppy, and he was jumping at my feet, and he wanted me to play with him. So I knelt down, and I was playing with this little beagle puppy. And as I'm looking out, there is a meadow that it had tall grass and the most gorgeous wildflowers. And so this particular experience was more of a different type. It wasn't about me. It was about me seeing what I saw and validating for someone else that her husband had died while I was in surgery. And I didn't know that until after I got well enough to go to my room and get my phone. And I had a message that this person's husband had died while I was in surgery. And I was able to tell her, I know this because I saw him. And what,
well,
there was a
remarkable.
Whole bunch of people.
That
oh, yeah. Her son, who had died several years ago, was actually leading his father into the gate. And I stood up from playing with the puppy, and I looked at him, and I said, oh, my gosh, I know you. And he just grinned at me, and then he and his dad went into the city gate. Well, what it was is people were coming out of the garden where I was before. They were walking through the meadow of tall grass and then going into the city. I noticed that there were people of every race, every tradition, every conceivable belief system, every age, shape, whatever. And they were going through the meadow and going into the city. And these were hundreds of people pouring out of that garden where I had been before. I saw two, they looked like Middle Eastern men. They had the long robes on and the, I don't know, whatever the white thing on their heads were. And they were talking to each other and smiling. And they were beautiful.
Okay.
So anyway, everything that you read is the truth. Heaven is a wonderful, joyful place.
It's not anything to be afraid of. We're running out of time. And I want to, do you have anything else you can say in 30 seconds?
No, don't be afraid of death. It's nothing more than going from one room in your house to another. It's very flawless, seamless, and there's nothing to be afraid of.
So thank you. Thank you. Well, this concludes our program for tonight. I'd like to thank Jared Saul, and I would like to thank Sharon Milliman.
Thank you,
if you
so want much.
To get a pardon, If you would like to get a hold of Jared, his number is 912-223-1342. And thank you. Thank you all so much for being on the program. And we will be back every other Sunday, 3 Pacific time, 6 New York time. And thank you.
To